You mean for the next hour? I have to talk for the entire hour? Okay, hopefully y'all will help me out. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. This program is called Health Essentials. Yes, I'm just a wee bit biased because I like to promote things that are healthy and natural. It's just, to me, it's so fun to talk about things that God has created for us to help us and to benefit us and make our life better. And, of course, having a body that serves you well, that can do whatever you command it to do, like work all day long or help somebody that's in need or sleep well at night. There's just all these things that have to be done in order to maintain our lives. And, of course, God knows that. We need food. And every time that man has decided that he's going to try to be superior to God and make a supplement or make a drug that's superior to what God's made, it usually fails. Anyway, what I was thinking of, I'm kind of changing my mind because I heard a really cute commercial on the radio. It was about a husband and wife talking, and I wish I'd paid better attention, but they were talking about finding their dream house. And then the husband brings up a point that what if the house has this toxic substance called radon in it? And as he and the wife are talking, the wife is saying, oh, well, I figured this out, or I figured that out, which was pretty cute. He says, here's a reward, have a pickle. And so you can hear her eating a pickle, and it's crunching. And, you know, after a little bit, he goes, here, have another reward. Oh, thanks, I'll take another pickle, as they're trying to talk about radon. But what I find kind of comical about this was, and it's amazing how all this stuff works, but before I went on the radio, I was reading about a substance that's found in cucumbers. And, you know, of course, what they do is, cucumbers that they ferment, that's the pickle right there. So pickles are like a health food. Could you imagine if mothers and fathers said, hey, you want something to eat? Here, eat a pickle. If you could just train children to eat real food, or here's a bowl of strawberries. You want something sweet? Here's some grapes. What about eating an apple a day? I've heard that you don't have to go to the doctor on the day that you have an apple for breakfast. But anyway, there's a compound that is found in cucumbers called fistin, F-I-S-E-T-I-N. And what they're showing is that it actually helps greatly reduce cancer. And the commercial that I was listening to was talking about radon causing lung cancer. You know what? What was it 2 weeks ago? The Food and Drug Administration came out and said, you know what, we think that maybe artificial sweeteners like aspartame and sweetened low, saccharin, Splenda, sucralose, acesulfame K, I mean, you could probably keep going with all the man-made chemicals to sweeten food, all the chemicals that aren't sugar. Oh, I get it. You know, you're trying to avoid the empty calories from sugar and the damaging effects of sugar, so we come up with something that makes tea tastes sweet and it's not sugar. Well, the problem is they're saying now it causes cancer, or it may cause cancer. I think that's the language they use in the article. Well, if they're saying that it may cause cancer, well, what do you think is going on here? Do you really believe it's safe to consume diet sodas? No, it is not. And that's just my point. Everything that man has designed to take the place of something natural, it almost always backfires. Kind of like a friend of mine was telling me. She's a really good researcher. I kind of take everything she says as the gospel because she's so good about quoting her sources and doing study, which, you know what, sometimes you come across people like that. Their favorite pastime is listening to podcasts because they want to gain knowledge and information. Or they might tune into my program to say, what tidbits can I take away today that would actually benefit me and help me out, or help those that I know that are suffering? Well, she was saying there has been an explosion of a type of a liquid cancer called a multiple myeloma, which, you know, I don't wish this on anybody, but if somebody has a multiple myeloma, usually what will happen is the cancer is going to very adversely affect the bones. It's going to start eating the vertebrae. They start to collapse. It's a fracture. It's bad. But anyway, she was saying there was an explosion in the occurrence of multiple myeloma among those that have been vaccinated, even young people. And so I haven't looked up the articles yet, but it's easy to do. If you have a computer, laptop, phone, desktop, whatever you've got, now all you have to do is just type in research on the occurrence of multiple myeloma in young people. And then you could type in with COVID vaccine, see what you come up with. Who knows? I haven't done that yet, but I kind of do this all day long, so I'm not saying I'm really, really good at research, but I like it, and I think your attitude makes a difference. Anyway, here's what I was getting to. I thought this commercial about buying a house that's full of radon, well, that's bad. I don't want you to do that. But then again, they're showing that radon increases lung cancer. Well, the very funny thing about the commercial was the guy was saying that he was in a real pickle, and he was giving his wife pickles as a snack. Well, the very substance that's found in pickles is called phytin. It's been shown to reduce the occurrence of cancer in human beings and animals predisposed to cancer. Anyway, another fruit that has been shown to contain this phytochemical or this phytonutrient called phytin, this antioxidant, is a mango. I know you can find it in things like also onions, garlic. It's found in apples. Strawberries, I think, are like a major home run. Could you imagine if you had no Chips Ahoy cookies in the house? There were no donuts. You didn't have a big bowl of candy. No soft drinks, no soda waters. Anyway, what if you didn't have that and all you had was like strawberries? And the mother cut up a bowl of strawberries for the kids, or they just ate them plain once you wash them. What would happen? Well, I'm starting to think that health would improve. Or mangoes. Anyway, I was looking through this. I did not find exactly the information that I was looking for, but I found a bunch of good stuff. It's a gold mine, though. Listen to this right here. This is referring to the mango, which I guess in Mexico, South America, Central America, this would be the equivalent of an apple. So where they have mangoes available, we would have apples, especially if you lived in the more northern parts of North America. Okay, listen to this right here. Research that was conducted in the year 2002, you know, that was 21 years ago, by Dr. Sue Percival. She is an associate professor at the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences. Well, it sounds like she's a pretty smart lady. She confirmed and expanded upon earlier research conducted at the University of Hawaii in the year 1997. Now, there is a tropical location that I would fully expect mangoes to grow quite easily. Actually, if you've ever seen a program where they visit Hawaii and they look at what grows there, oh, it's incredible. I'm thinking all that volcanic, those minerals that are spewing forth from the earth in the form of volcanic soil. Man, I think you could grow almost anything there. If the world literally came to an end as far as finding foods in the grocery store, if you lived in some place like Hawaii, could you imagine all the produce that you could actually grow there? It would be incredible. Could you imagine if you had like 20 chickens, 2 pigs, a cow on 5 acres in Hawaii? You could grow anything you wanted. It's amazing. Anyway, sorry for being distracted. Okay, this study that was done at the University of Hawaii in 1997. Hey, I wonder if that'd be a business expense if I went to Hawaii tomorrow to study the research. Probably not. In the study, white blood cells from mice were exposed to cancer-causing substances. Okay, so they knew that these chemicals were going to cause cancer in the mice, but at the same time, then they exposed the cancer cells to mango extract. You know what mango extract is? Yeah, it comes from mango. The lab test showed that the mango's ability to stop normal cells from turning into cancer cells. That might be a point that you might want to remember. So they inject the mice with a chemical that causes cancer, but if they injected mango extract, guess what happened? Cancer cells stopped growing. Interestingly, Dr. Percival compared an extract containing mango's carotenes to a water-soluble mango extract in order to test its effectiveness against cancer formation. According to her findings, mango's water-soluble portion was about 10 times as effective in preventing cancer cell formation as its carotenoids, which that's a fat-soluble. Have you ever heard of beta-carotene? Well, that would be a fat-soluble vitamin. Or vitamin A, that would be fat-soluble. Vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K, all fat-soluble. Anyway, I find that interesting because as human beings, we're supposed to be about 70% water, right? You get that? Okay. So we need water. So it helps if you can take a flavonoid or a compound from a mango and it's already water-soluble to begin with. That means it's like it's a perfect fit. So compounds found in the aqueous portion of the mango include not only water-soluble nutrients such as vitamin C, but they also have other flavonoid compounds which appear to contribute to mango's anti-cancer effect. Now, even though this article that I read, it doesn't say the word ficin, but I can look up, I just looked up on my phone just now, and it showed that this phytochemical called ficin, you find a lot of it in stuff like cucumbers, onions, mangoes, strawberries, all the things you love anyway. I mean, what person doesn't love mangoes and onions? You know what I thought of when I said that? Have you ever had a mango salsa? It is like excellent. That's one of the finer things in life, isn't it? Mango salsa. Could you imagine if you were craving Mexican food today and you said, hey, my waitress, do you have any mango salsa? I'd like to try that. Okay, furthermore, there is human evidence that demonstrates that mangoes can help other conditions also. And so, every week I have at the office is different. I never know what's going to walk in the door. And I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of times that it's an extremely difficult situation. And the person is really in dire straits. And I kind of I tell myself all the time, okay, we have got to run toward this problem. We got to find a way to help the person get through it. They have no other options. They've already been to, like a woman was telling me, they've been to 5 neurologists. Another person was telling me about multiple trips to the ER. A mother was telling me about her daughter, that she had been to the ER and doctor after doctor, and it just keeps going and going and going, but nothing seems to help the terrible pain. And I'm only saying that because the point I'm making is they have tried to get relief for the terrible, terrible pain they're in their digestive tract. Well, listen to this right here. We're still on topic of mangoes. And the other reason I'm saying this is you can go into the store anytime you want and you can buy mangoes. So just consider this. Let this be food for thought. They did a dietary analysis of 64 patients that actually had, I wouldn't say it's a common form of cancer, but it's growing and I don't like them. It's called gallbladder cancer. And they also took 101 patients that had gallstones. And when I say 101 patients with gallstones, we're talking about bad gallstones. We're not talking about teeny tiny small particles or rocks of sludge. We're talking about people that had horrific problems. So listen to this right here. They showed in these 64 patients with gallbladder cancer, that is not good, buddy. You do not want that. Just like you don't want your gallbladder loaded with gallstones. They showed that mango consumption was correlated with a 60% reduction in the risk of gallbladder cancer. And they said this is actually the highest reduction in the risk of this form of cancer found for any fruit or vegetable. So what that means is you might want to take notes. You know, if you and I were on the street today and the year was 1923, you know, 100 years ago, a century ago, and we came across an old-timey doctor that had been practicing his trade for like 30, 35 years. I don't know why I would say that number 35, but anyway. And you said, hey, do you have a nickname for the gallbladder? You know what the doctor would say? Oh, you're talking about the trash can. Well, you may not have heard this before, but then again, maybe you have. But a lot of the old school doctors, they used to call the gallbladder the trash can. Well, why do you think they would refer to the gallbladder as a trash can? That's because it has so much to do with helping your body get rid of toxic, poisonous waste and debris. Okay? So what do you think happens when you have gallbladder cancer and you have gallstones? Well, let me break it down. That means what you're doing is you're poisoning your body by what you're eating. I know that probably doesn't sound real sweet and loving and kind. I'm being probably kind of blunt. But if you've had one gallbladder problem after the other, you need to start asking the question, I wonder if it's something that I'm eating that's just disagreeable to my body. I wonder if there's a food that I'm eating that's causing my immune system to attack my gallbladder. Or, there's a lot of ways you can say this, I wonder if my gallbladder is getting sick and tired of what I'm putting into my mouth that's not really good for me. Do you know what I'm referring to? Yes, it's what you're eating. And so, if I set all this in reverse, guess what happens to your gallbladder and your liver when you eat mangoes? It says, thank you. Finally, something that we like. Anyway, so looking at the research on laboratory rats and mice that they inject cancer-causing substances, that does not hurt my feelings at all if mango extract kills the cancer cells and keeps it from living and growing. What would you do if you had a toxic emotion that was just driving you crazy? Well, number one, you have to stop feeding it. You have to feed the things that you want to grow. You don't know how many times a week I'll tell myself, Roy, stop thinking about that. You need to set your affections on things above and start thinking about other things. And you know what? Everything in life is a skill. You can get just as good, or you can develop the skill as much as you want based on the energy you put into it. Of course, this is hard. But, I mean, you tell me, what drugs are you going to tell me that you can take that give you a 60% reduction in the risk of gallbladder cancer? I don't know of any. Okay, here's number two right here. This may help explain it. I want you to know this also. One of the things that you get when you eat a ripe mango is you get all these enzymes. And there's an enzyme called papain, which is very similar to what you find in papayas. I don't know if you've ever heard of papaya or papain enzymes to help improve a person's digestion, but that's real. Okay. These are names right here. Okay. Maybe I should rethink this. Okay, there's an enzyme in a mango called mangiferin, and there's one called catechol oxidase, and there's one called lactase. Well, the lactase, hey, I can pronounce that one. It is grown, in fact, tropical countries where the mango is grown, it is often used as a meat tenderizer since its powerful proteolytic enzymes, they help break down protein. I wonder if, I saw a video one time, I think YouTube has the potential of being very, very bad or very, very good. It just depends on where you spend your energy on YouTube. And so if you're trying to figure things out or get information, just like a gentleman and I yesterday, we were asking the question that I just didn't have the knowledge for, but it was like we typed in, how can you manufacture this substance, or how can you make your own nebulized substance? And lo and behold, we looked it up, and there was like 15 videos right off the bat on how you could do it at home. I thought, well, looky there. Now, just because I've never done that before doesn't mean I'm capable of learning. You know what? You could probably do just about anything you wanted if you set your mind to it. And you could do really productive stuff. Okay. But here it is. On this YouTube video, a gentleman was showing how he greatly improved his health. And guess what he did? He completely cut out grains. Completely. And he focused on meat, but he also focused on consuming fruit. And so I'm not saying I know exactly everything that he ate, because I didn't watch the video. It was just the title. But he turned his health around by eating fruit. Well, fruit contains so many nutrient-dense compounds that are good for the human body. Now listen to this next one right here. By the way, the number here at the radio station is 903 586-5257. If you need help, if you want to call and ask a question, I will be glad to assist you to the best of my abilities. Now listen to this right here. The mango also offers some protection against infection. Okay? You might want to pay attention to this. The Department of Epidemiology and International Health at the University of Alabama conducted a four-month study of 176 Gambian children in which those who received dried mango, they were found to have much higher blood levels of retinol, which is vitamin A. Remember, vitamin A is two beta carotenoids bound together by a chemical bond. And I'm sorry, I've already butchered it. They gave 176 Gambian children mango, and the others were given a placebo, which means they ate something that wasn't mango. Since vitamin A's nickname is the anti-infection vitamin, you ever heard that? Of course you have. If you listen to this program, you have. The mango may literally be a life-saving fruit in developing countries where there is a very severe seasonal shortage of carotenoid-rich foods. Believe me, those are all things that are legitimate concern. I hate what's going on over in the Ukraine. I just think about all the people that are suffering that have nothing to do with the madness, the corruption, the theft, the criminal behavior, the war. They have nothing to do with it. They probably just want to go to church and worship God on Sunday. They want to live peaceful, quiet, humble lives. They just want to be able to farm and grow food and be productive. But no, everybody wants to blow them up. There's all this talk of Nazis. Anyway, you get where I'm going from. So there's a lot of people, because of, say, war, they're gonna go without food. And maybe the point that I'm getting to is, if you're lacking nutrients, this is when your body becomes most vulnerable to, say, for example, infection. So it says, in other studies indicating the mango's protective effects on overall health, infants in Gambia and also in India, they were found to have the best gut integrity and thus the least intestinal disease and diarrhea during the 3 months when mangoes were in season in each country. What that means is, during the time they're eating mangoes, they had the best gut integrity and the gut health. Have you ever heard of the term leaky gut syndrome? That's what they're talking about here. It sort of goes away when you eat mangoes. Maybe you should make a note of that. Here's another one right here. Here's another study that comes from Mexico. This study, done in Mexico, or conducted in Mexico, what they're doing is they're showing that if you eat mangoes, that provides you great protection against developing a parasite called Giardia. And that's an organism sometimes, what's been called Montezuma's Revenge or Traveler's Diarrhea. Anybody here want to go on a vacation and you're miserable the whole time because of diarrhea? The answer is no. Good morning and welcome to the program.
And, that's an organism sometimes.
Are you there?
Yes.
If you'll turn your radio off, we can go.
Okay, I did.
There you go. Yeah, thank you. All right, how can I help you today?
My doctor told me I've got the beginning of cirrhosis liver from drinking, and I wanted to know a natural thing I could do to heal it.
Years ago, I had a woman come to see me, and her story was not pleasant at all, but I'll just try to say it using code talk. She had a relative that died. They took their life, and I really feel as if she blamed herself for it, even though it wasn't her. She didn't. But, you know, as a mother, she felt like, oh, no, I failed. So she resorted to drinking to lessen the pain and suffering every day. And she would tell me that her greatest problem was that she would start drinking in the evening. She did good in the morning, but in the evening the thoughts would overtake her and she would just drink to try to numb the pain. So I get where she's coming from. And she was saying, I really don't have any money, so what can we do here? And I said, okay, this is what I want you to try. And so there, and this is where I'm getting to the punchline. There's an herb that's called gymnema. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yes, through you.
Okay. Well, gymnema, you can get it in what's called tablet form. It's just pure gymnema. And I don't mind telling you, it tastes horrible. You're not going to call me on the phone tomorrow and say, thank you for the delicious tasting herb, Dr. Morgan. That's not going to happen. So what she did was, we agreed to do just one thing. And so she said, I can do that. And what the technique was every time that she had a craving to drink alcohol, and I think she would drink alcohol with either Coke or Sprite or 7-Up, something like that. And so I think it was vodka. But she said, okay, I'm going to discipline myself to do this technique you're talking about. I said, okay, way to go. So what she would do is she would take a gymnema tablet, and she would tell herself that she could suck on it. Every time she had a severe craving for alcohol where she wanted to give in and drink alcohol, what she did was sucked on the tablet for 3 minutes before she gave in to the alcohol. Guess what happened? Totally killed the desire to drink alcohol. It worked fabulously. I think when she first started, she was like a little over 300 pounds. And yeah, she had cirrhosis of the liver, fatty liver, all those problems that we want to resolve. But in a year, I think she lost exactly 105 pounds, which I'm not trying to tell you that she's perfect, but man, she's like a tremendous work in progress. That's like an amazing result, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
And that's all she did was she carried a tablet of gymnema, that herb I'm telling you about, in her pocket. I think she would put it in a wrapper. And so every time she had a craving, she'd just suck on that. And I've seen that work for cigarettes. I've seen that work for chewing tobacco. I've seen it work for sugar cravings, but it's gross. It tastes really bitter. But if you suck on gymnema, it helps lower the production of a chemical in the brain called neuropeptide Y. If you don't know what neuropeptide Y is, when that hits, you start craving everything that's bad for you. So that might be one thing that you could try.
When my doctor told me that I was beginning cirrhosis of the liver, I quit drinking that day.
Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing? And, way to go.
He put me on a prescription that I did not like. It had all different kinds of side effects. I've been on, you know, so many different things that I don't like that. So I asked him for a natural thing, and he gave me ground up pig liver in a pill. liver in a pill.
You sure it wasn't beef liver?
Well, no. He also told me that my thyroid was sluggish, and he gave me ground up thyroid from a pig for that.
Yeah.
That was my next question. What would you recommend for a sluggish thyroid?
Well, the thyroid is sluggish because the liver is not able to make the conversion. So the thyroid produces a hormone called T4. But to be converted into the active form called T3, T3 is what makes you feel really, really good. And so studies show that when a person drinks alcohol, that momentarily causes a surge in T3, so they feel much, much better. It's very, very powerful, actually. So by improving your liver is what I'm getting to. You're going to improve how your thyroid works. Now, can I ask you two questions?
Yeah.
Are you able to walk?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, I know that the weather outside is brutal. I know we're in the dog days of summer right now, and I am never
I have a garden and so on, so I'm outside, animals, I'm outside every day walking anyway.
If I had my way, you would walk 4 miles a day, nonstop.
4 miles?
Mm-hmm. Because what we have to do is we're trying to greatly increase the amount of blood flow. Always remember that your blood, that carries all your life force and all the oxygen and nutrients. And so all the ocean of nutrients to repair the liver, we've got to really increase circulation to the liver. And it takes about 4 miles straight a day to kind of really get the blood flowing to get it repaired to the liver. And that's just my idea. You don't have to do anything I say. I'm just trying to tell you how to, I would do it. So I'd walk 4 miles a day. Now,
well, I live in the country, and we live on a dirt road that is sloped downhill and then back uphill. And then there's a gate there, and I turn around and walk back downhill and back uphill to here and do that, you know, a few laps. But that's the most I've ever done.
We'll do it for an hour a day then.
Okay.
But that is great. I mean, I love what you're telling me. And actually, because it slopes down and then back up again, you have your fair share of challenges on that road course, don't you?
Yeah, when that slope uphill is pretty steep.
Well, can I try to give you a sales pitch for what I'd want you to eat if you're trying to get well?
Sure.
All right, here goes. I'm going to give it my very best grade A shot this morning. How about that? If I could talk you into eating 2 cans of sardines a week, oh, man, that'd make me happy. If I could talk you into eating liver and onions twice a week, now we're talking, buddy. Everything that your liver needs to repair itself is going to be found in beef liver.
Well, the sardines I like. The liver,
Sir, you're gonna have to go and, you know, repent of your great sin of not liking liver. That could be a sin.
Well, I'll work on that.
Well, do you like avocados and sweet potatoes?
Oh, I eat avocados and sweet potatoes.
Do you like cucumbers?
Yes, but I only have a few teeth left, so I can't really.
Oh no, I understand that. Yeah, and you're gonna have to modify everything. Now, if I told you there's one or two fruits that are really gonna be a home run for you, actually I'm gonna choose three. I changed my mind on four. So the first one that is so good for the liver, that would be cherries. And then, you know what you could do? You could just take a blender and put your frozen cherries in the blender. And if you wanted to put maybe some coconut milk in there or whatever else you want, you could blend it up and you could put it in the freezer. And your wife could say, looky here, we have some cherry ice cream. It's made by Bluebell. And, well, that's really not true. Is her nickname Bluebell? But anyway, but if you started eating your own cherry smoothie, you could drink it down, do whatever you want, but cherries, they have a compound called an anthocyanidine, and it's really, really good at getting rid of inflammation of the liver. And you could do the same with strawberries. I mean, if you have very few teeth left, you could actually take strawberries, cut them up, and blend them in with the cherries if you wanted to. And you could put a mango in there, and you could make your own fruit smoothie sorbet.
Yeah. We've got a big bag of frozen strawberries and blueberries. So
wait, do they look delicious?
Oh, yes.
You know what? I think once I get through with this radio program, I think I could be over there in about 30 minutes. Tell me exactly where you live again. Where is it?
Well,
which county?
Rusk County.
Oh, Rusk County. That means I got to head straight into the sunshine.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's cloudy, you know.
Oh, well, that is going to throw me off, rats. Never mind. I'll have to track you down another day. Do you do good with Indian smoke signals?
Not really, no.
Okay, well, I'll just have to go get my own, I guess. So if you could get into the idea of eating stuff like ocean fish, that's where it's going to be a home run for you. So if you like flounder, if you like salmon, sardines, halibut, there's one that I like called haddock, cod. Those are so good for the liver. They're fabulous.
All righty. And all of that will, in turn, help the thyroid.
If you improve your liver, then your ability to improve your thyroid goes up tremendously. But yes, to improve the thyroid, if you start looking at the old school superfoods, it's called kelp. K-E-L-P. That would be a nutrient-dense substance that has a fair amount of iodine. And what I want to do is let me use a different train of thought right here. Okay, what I really want you to do is every morning for, say, the next 5 or 6 or 7 mornings, I want you to keep a sheet of paper and a pen right beside your bed, if you can, and take your thermometer And when you wake up, before you get out of bed, just discipline yourself to put the thermometer under your tongue or however it works. They got those modern fancy ones. You can just scan it over your forehead and it'll tell you your temperature. But I need you to measure your temperature. I want to know what your basal temperature is. And let me tell you where I'm going with this. Your temperature is a reflection of your thyroid, if I could say that in kind of a roundabout way. I'm not trying to say totality, but the thyroid has a lot to do with how efficiently your body manufactures energy, and you got to have energy to heal. And so if your morning temperature averages 98.6 degrees, then I'm thinking, okay, maybe the thyroid's really not the main problem. Maybe it's something else. But what if your morning temperature comes back at 96.2 degrees or 96.8 or 97 degrees? If it was 97, you'd say, well, isn't that like a full degree and a half lower than what it should be? And I'd say, yeah. Mm-hmm. So as your liver and your thyroid improve in their performance, that's where your temperature goes up. And the other reason why I'm saying this is every degree that you're able to naturally raise the core temperature of your body, you do increase the efficiency of your immune system by about 2,000%. So this is like a whole big ball of wax more than, you know, just the thyroid, because you start healing the body and your body starts making repairs and you defeat cancer and infections. All sorts of good things happen. So iodine and kelp are huge when it comes to the thyroid.
Okay. I have another question. Broke my neck years and years and years ago, and ever since, you know, then my left side has, you know, problems sometimes. My left arm, whenever I weed eat or, you know, bump my left arm, it gets one of those big red blood spots.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. You're talking about when you actually bump into something with your arm?
Yeah.
See, in my mind, I was thinking you were bumping the weed or had to feed more string. No, but you mean actually hit your arm.
Things,
no, I'm with you.
Doing things, you know, dude.
So are you saying it just bruises and bleeds easily?
Well, it's under the skin. It turns a black, you know, spot.
Well, I know this is going to sound crazy, but let me give you another sales pitch here, or another little tidbit of information. You know that there is a system in the body that controls how thick or how thin your blood is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very complicated. There's maybe 46 or 47 or 48 chemical enzymatic steps to maintain the thickness or the thinness of the blood. And what we want is, we want your blood being Goldilocks just right. We don't want your wife to sneeze on your forearm and then have a big bruise where, you know, she sneezed on you. But that's the job of the liver. The liver is completely responsible for all of that action.
Okay. Well, my wife's putting, she cuts a lemon in half and then rubs it on my arm. And that's,
man, she's like an amazing woman, isn't she?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Does she make lemonade out of the lemons after she does that?
No.
I thought if life gave you lemons, you had to make lemonade out of them. Anyway, go ahead. But that's good.
And I also drink green tea with raw, you know, unfiltered or whatever they call it, honey.
Absolutely. You're doing great. If it were me, I would focus on just meat and vegetables and fruit, and I would just totally give up grains and processed foods. If you did that, I think you'd see healing take place.
Thank you.
And you can also, it's everything. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do, but this is a starting point for you. I'm rooting for you.
I sure do appreciate that. God bless you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you.
Your ministry, you know, your program has been helping me for, shucks, 20 years.
Really? Well, that's, you just made me feel really good. Well, thank you for your kind words. I do appreciate you very much. And tell your wife I really appreciate her, too.
Love you, too, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, thank you. I love you. Y'all have a good day, folks.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. I love the word rejuvenation because it gives you the idea that you can change something that's not in great working order. You can bring it back to life. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Hey, my doctor keeps giving me blood tests, and my potassium level is usually too high, and my sodium level is too low. So he gave me a prescription a few days ago for sodium pills, salt pills, and my potassium level was 5.3. And,
well, 5.3 is really not that high.
Yeah, my sodium level was 134.
That is low. Yeah, I agree with that.
My daughter's sodium level was 128, and she's 55, or 53, I mean.
And
my fluoride level is also on the low side all the time.
What is it, like 99, 98?
I'm not sure, but mine was about 98.
Well, did you ever ask the doctor what's behind all this?
He keeps running tests. No, I do, but he doesn't really go into that kind of detail.
Well,
can I
go through the three or four top possibilities?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question first. Are you taking a blood pressure lowering drug or a diuretic right now?
I take 12.5 milligrams of metoprolol.
Okay, that's going to be, I'm going to put that in there. That's a contributing factor. So you have these two kidneys. You got your right kidney, you got your left kidney. And so if the kidneys are weakening, or let me say it a different way, your kidneys are literally the gatekeepers for potassium, chloride, and sodium. And so these minerals that you're talking about, these are called electrolytes, which means they kind of hold an electrical charge, or they generate electricity in the body. How about that?
Okay.
And so if the kidneys are stressed or weakened, or you're in kidney failure, this is where you'd see this exact scenario. Now, I'm not trying to be difficult, but I'm going to throw another thing in the... So either something is irritating the kidneys, and the metoprolol can do that, and the metoprolol can cause your potassium to go up, so it could just be a side effect of the drug. But if the kidneys are stressed, if they're weakened, if they're not working right, that could be completely responsible for this. Now, the other thing is, there is a substance called water. If I asked you which organ in the body probably filters more water than any other, you'd probably say, I would guess the kidneys.
Kidneys, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're making a good guess. And so everything's kind of pointing toward the kidneys, but do you think there's any chance that you might be just a wee bit dehydrated?
Well, I keep trying to drink plenty of water, but I have been dehydrated several times, and had to go to the emergency room in the past few years. I have heat exhaustion with dehydration.
Oh, man, I don't wish it on anybody. That's horrible.
I'm trying to keep from doing that, so I think I drink enough water now.
I know you're fantasizing about starting a lawn care business and weed eating all day today, but don't do that, please.
Yeah, I have to be careful about going outside. I'm 83, and I just love to do outside work, but I can't because
Definitely have to pace yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple, three ideas here. All right. What if you put just a very small pinch of salt in every glass of water that you drink?
That'd be easy to do.
Okay. Do you know what your weight is right now? Do you mind if I ask?
I'm 130.
I don't think you're more than 30 or 40 pounds overweight, sir.
I'm not overweight.
No, I'm only joking.
You're trying to get me to gain weight all the time because I'm 5'9".
And I would like you also. I may force you against your will to eat two extra eggs a day to try to add some mass to your muscles.
Yeah.
Would you do that with some salt on it? Two eggs over easy?
I will. Okay. I will. Also, my blood is very thin. I bleed so easily.
Well, that's your liver right there.
I don't take a blood thinner, but my blood is so thin, it just bleeds.
Just like I was telling the gentleman earlier, when you eat avocados, that's good for the liver. And when you eat sweet potatoes, that's good for the liver. And cherries are really, really good for the liver.
Okay.
If I forced you at gunpoint to eat some super delicious sweet frozen cherries, would you?
I sure would.
Well, I don't have to hold you at gunpoint then, do I?
Nope.
What would you be willing to eat liver every day? Because if your blood, if you bleed, oh, no, not another one.
I'm a vegetarian.
You know what I'm used to? All I do is deal with nonstop rejection. I ask myself, Roy, how are you going to make it through the day? Everybody shoots you down and rejects your brilliant plan for their health.
What is then an alternative for liver? I mean,
now did you say earlier? Did you say earlier that you would eat eggs?
Yeah, I do eat eggs.
Okay, well then that's what we're going to go with. But you're probably going to need a minimum of 4 eggs a day.
Ooh, I usually eat 1 a day.
Well, and I know, I'm not trying to scare you, but the main blood transportation protein is called albumin. And so if I were looking at your blood work, I would look for an albumin level starting to drop below the number 4.2.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to have albumin to keep your blood flowing at a good rate of speed. I don't want the blood being too thin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want your arteries being fragile. But your arteries are made of protein, so... Yeah, I'm kind of telling you 4 eggs a day is about the minimum.
Well, I'll try that.
Would it be better if we blended them up and just put them in an IV in your artery?
That's my appetite is good.
Okay, so if you can kind of wrap your mind around that, we might see some beautiful changes really, really quick, like in about 7 to 10 days. Just from doing that.
Okay.
Or if you were going to make yourself like a smoothie or a protein drink, what you might need is you might need some more, it's called pea protein, P-E-A.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying P-double-E. That's not really the kind of protein that I recommend.
Yeah.
But pea protein, that might be something that you might try to add. And the other thing, and this is just an idea, I love a substance called chlorella.
Oh, yeah, I do, too. I have taken that in the past, but it's so expensive.
Well, if you may have to order it online to get a great discount, but I really like just the bulk tablets. And I could almost look at my fingers every time I've had my hands on it because they turn kind of a green-black color.
Yeah.
The chlorella, that's going to probably be something that may end up being essential for you to try to keep your blood and your arteries in good working order. And I'm just trying to strengthen you. I know you're 83.
Yeah, I'm very weak. I get fatigued really bad, really easy.
Well, and my guess is right now, this is really one of the things you're dealing with as a core issue is dehydration. You're just not holding enough water in your cells, and protein does play a powerful role. That's why I mentioned the blood transportation protein called albumin.
Okay.
And usually albumin is actually a great predictor of how long a person is going to live. And so when albumin starts dropping below the number 4.5, you start seeing a great weakening. Or maybe a different way of saying this is when somebody has albumin like in the low threes, you can't do anything to turn cancer around or stop cancer from growing because the immune system just doesn't have enough strength anymore to rise to the occasion.
Wow.
And so I'm trying to trick you into eating more eggs.
I certainly will. And I'm recovering from cancer. I had cancer of the small intestine on the outside.
Oh, bless your heart.
Intestine 2 years ago, and I'm over it. I mean, they took it out, you know, and did a resection. But but other than that, I'm in good health. I never get sick. But you're right, I don't get enough protein, and that's probably the cause of most of my problems. And I was concerned about the electrolytes. And
Well, that's what your blood test is saying.
Yeah, is there anything you could add, I could add to my water all the time besides salt that would help my electrolyte balance?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can tell you what I love. If you had a fresh lemon or a lime, you could squeeze that in your water.
Yeah, I do that occasionally. But
I don't have one, but I've seen people use these infusion devices where they cut up cucumbers and celery and they put it in the chamber and it just infuses the water with all those nutrients and minerals. But then again, you understand the principle. When you eat celery, you're getting a great source of a living organic sodium from the celery plant. Do you like celery?
Yeah, in fact, I'm eating celery for breakfast with eggs.
celery and eggs. That's a great combination.
I'm kind of a health nut, you know. I don't eat.
Do you think your choices have served you really well up to this point?
Yes, except for the fatigue and the weakness. My muscles are very thin and weak.
Well, and that right there is really all I have to know is I'm going to really do everything I can to encourage you and to get the protein in. And so the one way that we know that you're heading the right direction is if you gain weight. So if you go from exactly 130 pounds and by the end of the month you're 132 and a half, I'm going to go, all right, Roy, you tricked him into getting well. Way to go. Good job.
Yeah. Do I need any minerals that I might not be getting? I mean, I take a little bit.
Well, that's kind of why I said chlorella.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was just trying to cut to the chase and give you something that's very nutrient mineral dense that would be
I have taken magnesium powder. You know, I have some magnesium.
Good.
Powder, magnesium oxide.
Every good chemical reaction takes place in the presence of water in the body. So if you're dehydrated and you're low in minerals, mm-hmm. it's hard to make all these chemical reactions take place to generate energy production. So your fortunes are going to rise and fall based on the amount of energy that your body can produce. But we've got to get more water in your battery. So when you pull your body up to the gas station, I'm going to take the cap off and see if one of your battery cells is low in water, then I'm going to add some water to it.
Okay.
You know my analogy I'm making right there.
Yes.
And so minerals help control that. So you can put salt on your food, like your eggs.
Yeah, I do.
What I want to know is,
people are in a low salt diet, you know, so I thought salt was bad for you.
Well, that's the reason why they're in a low salt position, is because everybody's screaming at them that salt's bad. They couldn't be further. Now, what I would say is modern refined salt, where they use aluminum powder and other junk and they bleach it, that's bad. Mm-hmm. But if you use raw salt, and that could be everything from like Redmond sea salt to pink
Himalayan. Himalayan pink salt is what I use.
Do you actually believe there was a great flood that covered the Himalayan mountains?
Oh, there definitely was.
What makes you so sure? You said the word definitely. Where does your confidence come from on that flood?
The Bible tells
me. Oh, okay.
Tells me so.
Well, you got me on that one. I can't disagree. So if you start, how are you going to hold these slippery eggs over easy on a stick of celery? How are you going to balance
I usually just boil them because it's easier. I don't like to cook because then I have to wash dishes.
Are you using celery like chopsticks to pick up the boiled egg before you eat it?
I usually just chop them up a little bit. Or I eat some of the leaves too because they're good for you.
One of the things that I think I talked about last week is when you add fat to the food that you're cooking, you increase nutrient absorption by about 800%. So I don't know if you use butter or olive oil or both.
I use both, olive oil and butter.
Good. Then cook everything from now on in butter and olive oil, and what you'll get is you'll get more nutrient absorption. So like one study showed that if they put olive oil on a salad as compared to a dry salad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
800% increase in nutrient absorption.
Wow.
So if you had like an olive oil-based salad dressing, or you had butter or olive oil,
yeah,
wouldn't that be horrible to have some fresh black-eyed peas with some salt on them and butter?
In fact, I had black-eyed peas with my breakfast this morning.
You know what? Where do you live exactly? Because I think I could probably eat that along with you.
Yeah, I don't eat breakfast cereals. They're junk, you know?
They are junk. That's all they are. They're garbage. It's like cancer in a box.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms ain't so lucky.
No.
Anyway, but so consider those things. And really, you know, in my fantasy world, I'd say, you know what you really need? You need to eat sardines and fish and eggs every day till we get you back.
I will occasionally eat some salmon. I don't like it because I'm a vegetarian, but my doctor tells me I need to eat fish and
you know,
hold my nose and take a bite.
Sometimes I just end up at the right place at the right time, but I got three fish out of Lake Palestine the other day. The three fish weighed over 100 and, 37, 33, 42, and let's just say like I think I almost hit 120 pounds, three fish.
Wow. I didn't know they were that big in, you know, in Lake Palestine.
Well, you know, I'm not bragging. I think I really am, aren't I?
Yeah.
Anyway, but if you will eat fish, sardines are absolutely going to be your very best friend right now. If you could eat sardines, then there will be hope for you. And that's what I want you to have. I want you to have hope. But you've got to follow through on the protein, because if you waste away into nothingness, you're going to pass the point of no return. And I don't like that.
No. How about canned salmon?
Yeah, you can do that.
I hate the taste of it, but it's free, you know, from the food bank.
Well, then go with that and show up at the food bank and say, I would like my salmon, por favor, and that would be great.
Well, they give it to me, and I give it to my dogs because they love it, but I will eat a little bit of it. It just tastes so bad, but it does say on the can that it's wild caught from the North Atlantic or somewhere, you know.
Probably so, yeah.
And I've heard that you don't want to eat the farm raised salmon. That's not really that good.
Well, seals like to eat farm raised salmon.
How do they get it?
They just jump into the nets and they eat them while they're being farmed.
Oh, I guess it'd be better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, it is to a seal, a lion seal. No, these are good things, so do those things, and hopefully this will get better. But really, your fortunes are going to begin and end with protein. That's the main substance you're made of. And if you get more protein, you'll be able to hold more moisture in your body. Your skin will start to hold more moisture.
My skin is so dry, it's like...
Well, you're not holding any moisture.
My skin is like tracing paper.
if they did an episode with Lucille Ball crushing olives to make olive oil in Italy, would you join her in that vat of olives?
I bet it would be good.
What if you slip and fall? That would probably help your skin, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You can actually start rubbing olive oil all over your skin, and your skin's going to drink it up, buddy. Let your skin feast on olive oil today.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you.
You're welcome. I hope all this helps you.
Thank you very much, Dr.
You're welcome. I hope you have a really good weekend, buddy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye. Sometimes it is a little bit of a challenge to sell a person on protein. I think there's a lot more to it than just simply saying, this is what works. There's more thought process and maybe even some other ways that a person arrives at a conclusion. But anyway, those are my ideas. And the number one predictor of someone that shows up at the hospital with COVID-19, you can predict who's going to pass away. It has to do with their muscle mass. And so the weight of the muscles is everything in the body. If you're strong, if you keep your muscle weight up, then you can live under normal circumstances. But if you lose so much of your muscle mass that your body cannot... See, your muscles are where... That's your protein or your amino acids. That's where your immune system goes to in order to make what are called antibodies. Without antibody production, you can't mount any type of a response to an infection or a cancer. And maybe with the idea of cancer, you're caught in the middle here between trying to feed your healthy cells versus the cancer cells. Well, it's a battle. And so maybe one of the best things you can do is you've got to do what it takes to get your muscles built up if you're fighting cancer or infection. And so if you're not sick now, it might be a great idea to start consuming a bit more protein if you're not consuming too much of it. All right, I have certainly enjoyed being with you today. My name is Roy Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. Lord willing, I'll be back this time next week.